The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 13th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. A gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. Supposed to be like this all week long here in town, so we're excited for that. And maybe that'll lift your spirits a little bit. Maybe that will boost the attitude and the mood of Auburn fans on this Monday afternoon. It is not a victory Monday. No, no. It is once again a defeated Monday, a losing Monday, a non-victorious Monday. However you want to describe it, we are here once again. Christian, Monday. To you, sir.
Yeah,
Monday.
Those words were still pretty uplifting, I feel like, based off of how...
Not bad, huh?
How everybody's feeling. Monday to you, sir. It feels great out, and it looks great out, as you mentioned. So you can run with that as long as possible, and hopefully everybody in there that saw that Auburn was the opening favorite over Missouri have taken it before that, because now Auburn's a 1.5-point underdog, and so we'll see how much that continues to drop before game day.
Yeah, that was insane.
But
that was insane.
Yeah, another, I usually say, great show or an excellent show we have prepped. And again, apologies at least on my side of things. I won't, steal words out of your mouth. But we feel like we usually do a pretty good job setting up a really good show for everybody. And man, right now it's hard. It's difficult. And again, we have a show and it's going to be pretty interesting, but fun and good. I don't know if the words are the correct words to describe everything that needs to be said and everything that's going to be said here on the radio waves here this afternoon.
Yep. The drill. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. In case you happen to have thoughts, if you have an opinion on...
If you care enough still.
On what happened Saturday... What's going to happen moving forward? What Hugh Freeze just got done talking about?
What you had for breakfast this morning? I mean, anything, really.
I mean, anything that's on your mind. We are here for you as another two-hour therapy session on this Monday. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. It's open all show long. We want to hear from you here on this, yet again, non-victorious loser Monday. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. The text box is open as well. 334-784-1067. We are talking Auburn, Georgia. We're talking the aftermath. Yes, we're talking officiating. Yes, we're talking the defense. We're talking the lack of offense in the second half. And also where to go from here, right? There's a lot of things to get to on today's show. And if there's time, and these may be conversations we have later in the week, there are other things happening in college football. So pretty crazy things, actually.
Some ones that actually make Mr. Jacob Goins smile.
I'm not right often. I'm not right very much, but I've been so right on one thing for so many years, and my heart is happy. Not because someone lost their job, but simply because I told you so. Can't wait to get to that eventually, but... For long-time listeners of this show, they know exactly what we're talking about.
My heart is pretty happy for him. I mean, when you walk out with $64 million and half of that being paid in 30 days and the rest is going to be a monthly stipend. I mean,
but don't worry, he'll go find another job because coaches can't just walk away for whatever reason. They just have this like, they have this issue in their brain or their heart or their soul that they just can't walk away from the sport, even when they were given 55 million reasons to do so.
It's okay. It'll go full circle for you here momentarily, and we're not necessarily going to have those conversations here this afternoon. But no, we're talking a lot of the details of Auburn, Georgia, and we've already smoked out a couple people on the phone lines. Jacob, getting to those here in just a moment. So yeah, you mentioned we're talking about everything that happened inside Jordan Hare. Talking about the white and black stripes, but talking about how there were so many opportunities. We've spent the last couple of weeks, Monday being the raw reaction episode, and then Tuesday being the, all right, despite all of that, here is where Auburn still found ways to not have success and struggle.
Can we say it like it is? Can we call it like it is? Auburn found ways to lose.
Yes.
Let's quit saying it like Auburn found ways to put themselves in a situation to not win, which is the new way that Freeze framed it today. Give me a break.
And after the game Saturday, which we were in the post-game presser for. But yeah, diving into a lot of that, we got off-the-field news that we're obviously going to discuss. If these phone calls don't bring it up, I mean, man. We got buttons that I didn't even know could be pressed on that phone dial that we got lighting up right now.
Yeah, Christmas in October is what the phone lines look like right now. Again, 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, the call-in number. You can also text us 334-784-1067. We got three people ready to go. Let's start with Spectre. You're up first, my friend, on this Monday afternoon. What's up?
Hey, guys. Well, I guess y'all got the news about Austin, right?
Yeah, we got that confirmed from Hugh Freeze. The rumors had started to come out that Damari Austin was no longer with the team, and after the third time of being asked, Hugh Freeze finally confirmed he won't be playing anymore at Auburn.
Well, I guess you know why, right?
I think there's several reasons, but yeah, regardless.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about this for years with that offensive line. There's a lot of people bleeding in over us. Are you still there?
Yep. Can you hear me? Spectre, are you still there?
I hear you now.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Well, you know, I've been talking about the offensive line for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not doesn't seem to be getting any better after all we do to go into the portal to get people to come out of there. I don't know for sure if we're vetting these people right. We always come in, well, he did great at his last university he played for. But when they get to Auburn, they don't seem to work out.
Yeah.
But
crazy enough, though, Spectre, like the offensive line and the running game for Auburn, I don't believe that's been the issue. It's been Auburn just committing to the run for four quarters that seems to be a bigger problem, in my opinion.
Well, it's a hit and miss if you really want to know the truth. This take last Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, the offensive line couldn't open a hole big enough to put a gnat through.
Sure.
And so, you know, I told Doug on his show, it seemed like the spirit of the team just left them offensively and defensively on that goal line call. And the coaches could not, well, I don't know if they could not, they did not motivate these players to get it back into the second half and do what they did in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot. I told you, it's to me, it's 60-40 coaches, players not executing. You saw the quarterback throwing balls at the feet and overthrowing them when they're wide open.
Right.
And that's all in the head. That's all in the head. It's nothing to do with his mechanics. He could throw the ball and he could throw it accurately. But when you start fooling with these guys' heads, no football team can play right once they get depressed like that.
That's right. Yeah, I think you make a lot of great points, Spectre. We appreciate you calling in. I hate to cut people short, but we got a lot to get to here on the show. I think he makes a lot of great points. Let's continue with the phone lines now, 334-321-1390. We're throwing you straight on the air. Who are we talking to?
It's Jones.
What's up, Jones? What's on your mind?
Well, I got twofold. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to hang up and let you guys expound if you got time.
Sure.
You could cut Hugh loose, and Auburn would topple into further abyss with with the way things are with NIL and all, you absolutely could destroy the program. You could hold on to him and let him ride this out. I think Saturday night bloodied Auburn's nose for the last time. Any player that's worth his salt and coach is going to bow up now, and you'll see a different Auburn team. I hope I'm right. I think Auburn is a lot better without Austin. When he was in the game, Auburn stunk. I don't know why in the world they did not come back with I'm sorry, I can't think of the other running back's name. Forgive me.
With probably Omar. With, you got Jeremiah as your starter, and Omar Mops, yeah, and again, Omar Mapson is the next
yeah,
one.
You
yep.
could do that. You could cut him loose, or you could do this and look at Cignetti, who's 2 years into Indiana. He's playing with three stars. He's got a few four stars, not many, but he's got a culture of developing quarterbacks. So you got that twofold. But I think if you cut Hugh loose, as much as many of us would like to see it done, unfortunately, because what's been done in the last 8 to 10 years, if you cut the man loose now, you're going to topple this program into an abyss that it may not come out of for a decade or 12 years. Mm. That's my opinion. I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm telling you, Auburn's got to be real careful now. They're walking a fine tightrope. You don't want to look down. You don't want to look back. You want to forge ahead with confidence, and I think Auburn will.
Appreciate the call, Jones. A lot of good points there as well. Phone lines are open. Come on in. 334-321-1390. They're open and ready for you whenever you want to hop in and have something to say. Christian, your thoughts on Spector and Jones's comments
there? Yeah, starting with Spector, and we were talking about running the football, man. I mean, you saw what a bye week actually did for play calling in the first half. I mean, you had 25 carries for 130 yards in that first half. You finished with 36 carries for 140. You had 10 rushing yards net. Obviously, a couple sacks in there as well. But you had 10 true rushing yards in the second half. We listened to a little bit of the Kirby Smart press conference following the game, and they were talking to him about the first half and saying that Auburn ran things that their team was not prepared for, that they had not seen all year long. We saw three or four jet sweeps in the first half. First play of the game with Eric Singleton. You saw Malcolm get a couple of them. You didn't see one of them in the second half. We talked about this sitting in the post-game press conference where it just feels like anytime there's success on the offensive side of the football, you choose to go away from it. And we've talked about it for forever about coaches outsmarting the other defensive coordinator and just trying to be a step ahead rather than trying to make any sort of adjustments. And obviously at the halftime, we didn't see any of those, which was exactly how I predicted this game to go. But yeah, finding out that it was 130 yards on 25 rushing attempts and you finished with 140 is pretty sickening.
It's baffling, right? How many times have I used that word on this show?
Jeremiah Cobb had 47 rushing yards at halftime. So, sorry, 42. He finished with 50.
I just don't understand it. And to the point you were bringing up, it's like Auburn has success doing A, B, and C, and they go into the locker room with the expectation that the opposing coaches are going to make adjustments, which they will. But Auburn says, well, they're going to adjust to that, so we may as well just go away from it now rather than giving them the chance to stop it. Let's just not run it anymore and try to do something else, where in reality, something else doesn't work. Until they stop it, whether it be a run play between the tackles, whether it be running five wide, whether it be jet sweeps or whatever the case may be, why would you go away from it if they haven't stopped it yet? Sure, you run that same set three, four, five more times in the second half and they've made the adjustments and stopped it. Cool. That's when you put in the backup plan. But for Auburn to finally be running the ball a little bit and just abandon it completely is baffling to me.
And then when you're seeing success on the one fold, when you're running that play, I mean, you think about the jet sweep. Yes, you have Eric Singleton and it's Jackson Arnold that has that read if he's going to keep it or not. But we've seen it a couple times where, you know, you fake the jet sweep to Singleton and you give it to Jeremiah Cobb right around the opposite side again when the entire defense is working it right. I mean, there's three different plays that can boil down into that one, and you had success with it six or seven times in the first half. And just to go away from it a crazy, crazy stat, and we're going to dive more into the first half versus second half statistics. But Auburn, on their first four drives of the game, had drives of 70 yards or more on three of them. So on the first four times that Auburn got the football on offense, three of those four times you went 70-plus yards. The rest of the game, you had 40.
Total.
40 total yards. 25 of those in garbage time, which nobody is giving Auburn credit for.
No.
On that final drive.
And I'll say this, Georgia did make adjustments. Georgia made changes. That's what Kirby Smart does.
That's what I was saying. That was my prediction all week, and especially when I was with Uncle T-Bone on game day. We talked a lot about it. I am not worried about the first 30 minutes of play. We can go back and find the clip. I said Auburn will be winning at halftime, but then you have a coach on the away side of the field that goes in with his coordinators and makes the best in-game halftime adjustments of any coach in college football, which is why he's the best. And a little bit later on, there's not going to be too many fans when I give Kirby a lot of credit for everything that happened on Saturday night, because how could you not? But when you just know that one coach is going to make adjustments and then you see the other coach making adjustments for the other team without even making them turn into geniuses, it just simply makes it where the confidence level could not be lower.
Well, that's my point, is Georgia made adjustments in the locker room and played a much better second half defensively. You had some stat last night or yesterday that Georgia is one of the best second half defenses in all of college football.
Yeah, well, I need to see if I...
Find that stat for me if you can.
I remember the number that Georgia was sixth in...
Was like yards allowed or
something? Sixth in yards per play, and then basically their defensive success rate against offenses. Went from sixth or eighth in the SEC to first in the second half, where you went from giving up almost 6 yards a play and having an offensive efficiency rating of 50% against your defense to averaging right around 3 yards per play and only a 33% efficiency or success rate for opposing teams' offenses.
Even given that stat, even with that, even then, when the numbers say that Georgia is one of the best second-half defenses in college football, yes, they made adjustments, yes, they made changes, and yes, they played better, but they didn't play that much better. They didn't make that many adjustments. They didn't outcoach you that bad. You outcoached yourself. You outplayed yourself. You outsmarted yourself. And you did it again. That's what's unfortunate here. Auburn found a way to lose. They didn't find a way to not win. They didn't find a way to put themselves in a situation to not make winning plays and come away with the victory. Right? You can dance around the word all you want to, Hugh. You found a way to lose again. And that's why Auburn fans are frustrated for the third game in a row. Tigers started 3-0, you're now 3-3. And most people have cashed it in on this season. So much so, you got players walking away from the team. That's where Auburn is halfway through the month of October. We'll talk more about it and take your calls right after this. Phone lines are open. Come on in. Be a part of the show. We got one waiting. We'll get to them as well. 334-321-1390, plus some text messages in the text box as well at 784-1067. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Taking more of your phone calls, 334-321-1390. Right before we get to Mike and Montgomery, Christian, you found the stat that we were talking about with Georgia's defense comparing the first half and second half. Not on Saturday, for the season. These are the differences in Georgia's defense in the first and second halves.
Yeah, Georgia ranks 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th, 12th in the SEC in the first half, averaging 6.3 yards per play, and the success rate for offenses is 49.7%, which is right. I think a successful play is 4 to 5 yards, one of those two numbers. So essentially, every other play, Georgia's given up right around 6 yards per play. In the second half, they moved to the number one defense in the SEC with just over 4 yards per play. The success rate for teams offensively, 33%. So you talk about the adjustments that are made. You already knew that this is who you were going up against if you're Auburn. But my goodness, did you make it that much easier for Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann to make things work?
Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Mike in Montgomery, you're on the line, my friend.
Guys, you can talk about the officiating without you're not making excuses just because you talk about the officiating. Auburn is not a well-coached team, but nobody's ever seen officiating like that in their life. It took 36 minutes to run the last 2 minutes of the first half off the clock.
Yeah.
36 minutes. It's like Birmingham was stopping the play after every play, seeing what they could do to get Georgia back in the football game. It's like driving past a bad car wreck and trying to figure out what happened.
And as soon as you get there, every single body part's out the window.
It doesn't matter what the wreck looks like. The drivers, if they'd have been driving properly, they never would have had that wreck. If Hugh Freeze had coached properly, you know, Auburn would have still won the game. Well, maybe that's true. But the big thing to talk about in this game, and I'm not making excuses, but it was like a terrible car wreck. Let's talk about it. For example, I've never in my life seen two teams line up on a short yardage situation, and the defense's helmets are bumping up against the offensive line's helmet.
Yeah.
You could see it. You could even hear it. And nobody even – there was so many things going wrong with the officiating that didn't even come out.
Yeah.
Come up.
Yeah. Until after the game. That's right. It's one of those things, Mike, and we appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show and holding on through the break as well. There's so many things from that game on Saturday, Christian, officiating-wise and execution-wise. And we were talking with our good friend Daryl Daprich, right? And he reminded us that he likes to say this all the time, and it's absolutely the case here. Two things can be true at once. Two things can be true at the same time. Did Auburn get hosed by officiating in this game on Saturday against Georgia? Absolutely. Was Auburn on the wrong end again on poor officiating with blatant missed calls, with blatant mishandling of situations, and at times, guys simply not knowing the rules? Was Auburn on the wrong end of that? Yep, they were. That is true. But what is also true is what Mike was just talking about, and what Jones was talking about, and what Spector has already talked about, and I'm sure what Ty the Tiger is going to talk about here in just a moment. You may have been on the wrong end of officiating, but you still had chances to win the football game. You're still leading at the half.
You had too many chances to win this football game.
Again. It felt like the end of A&M. It felt like the end of Oklahoma, where it's like, okay, Auburn, here you go. Here's another chance. Here we go. Let's lob it up. Take a swing. See if you can hit it, right?
So much so that where even after the 10-3 halftime score, there was no confidence. You just felt like with how the game was going that it was going to be anything but a 10-10 game as soon as Georgia got the football to start the second half. Your defense gets you off the field, and you can't do anything.
You can't do anything about it. You crumbled.
As soon as one thing goes your way, does not go your way, this team does not have the ability to respond to adversity in any way other than to back down.
Two things can be true at the same time. That Auburn was on the wrong end of one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen, but you still had more than enough chances to win this game on Saturday, and you simply couldn't do it. We're taking more of your phone calls here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Ty the Tiger, you're first up. When we come back, come on in, be a part of the show. 334-321-1390.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Also, several text messages that we're going to get to as well. But let's get back to the phone lines. We're our man, Ty the Tiger. You're on the line, my man. What's up?
Well, you remember last week I told everybody just take a deep breath, calm down, right?
Yeah, what you saying today?
Are you past that breath, Ty?
Ooh, man, I need some oxygen. be honest with you, man, you know, it wouldn't be that bad, but, you know, Monday morning, you know, waking up and hearing that you're one of your team captains is leaving the team, that's a bad sign. That means the players aren't buying in, and he probably, you know, had a conversation of, hey man, why am I only getting 2, 3, 4 catches, you know, runs a game? Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him. I mean to talk about the officiating till we're blue in the face, you know, I think the most blatant worst call of all of them was the targeting.
The really targeting against Auburn, or the one that was not reviewed against Georgia? Because there were two different ones.
No, I think he hit that guy pretty good. I think our targeting was legit, but you can't call that one. And then our guy's being held by two defenders. And then literally the defender comes in almost at the end of the play and launches.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. And we even take a timeout there to try to review it. And they still don't give it to them on the review, so I'm just
– which was the right decision for Auburn to call that timeout to try and force the review. They didn't get it, you're right. But that was the right decision by Auburn.
Yeah, and Ty, that was my question to Hugh in the post-game press conference, was what was the conversation on why there was not even anybody looking at it? And Freese says that the head official walked up and said that there wasn't enough evidence that he led with the head.
I mean, I don't know what evidence you need. The dude, our guy was being held, and he launched.
Yeah, and then got lit up.
I mean, to me, it looked like the definition of targeting. But, again, that's me looking at Auburn. But even, you know, besides the point, man, I would have rather ran the ball 25 times in the second half and thrown it 5. And Q get up there and said, well, you know, we felt like running the ball was the best way for us to win, so we ran the ball. But instead, we just, every week for 2 years now, we have the same question. Well, I guess it was enough questioning for Austin to just pack his bags and get out of there. And I think this is a bad sign.
And I think what's frustrating now, as well, is you're talking about running the football. The creativity of running the football in the second half was completely eliminated. The only time you did it was, all right, here's the B gap left, B gap right. There were no jet sweeps. There was nothing outside the tackles. There were no zone reads. It was, all right, we're going to go try and get our yard and a half so that way everybody applauds, and then we'll throw two incompletions and punt.
I mean, where'd the RPO go? Well, they were killing them with the RPO and Jackson Arnold it's just, you know, it's not the play caller we hired, in my opinion. He does not look like the same guy at Ole Miss. Now, last year we all gave him grace, and the year before because it was Peyton Thorne. But, you know, this is this is your guy. You ain't got your guy. Now he's there, and guess what? He ain't throwing interceptions.
you can't blame it on turnovers. You know, last year was we got to hold on to the ball. We got to take care of the ball. And this year it's the officials. You know, at some point the common denominator is Hugh Freeze, and which I like Hugh, and I think he's done a great job of putting a good team on the field. You know, this team, you know, looks a lot better than it did during the potato farmers, you know, tenure here. And, you know, I mean, you know, he is right. You know, we're close. We're close. You know, I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was Samson. But he said, you know, we're better than Georgia. We're better than Oklahoma.
That was Preston Howard.
That's right. It was a tight end. And I agree with him. I think we're better than both teams. Now, A&M, I'm not so sure. I think we could have won the ball game. But, you know, you can only get – you've got to call the certain plays. I mean, this is getting frustrating. You know, I got one good lining, and I'm going to leave you guys with that, is that, you know, basketball ain't too far around. We can forget this whole thing.
7 days, baby, 7 days.
Heard that,
seven
Ty.
Days,
we appreciate
baby.
You, brother. Always appreciate you, Ty. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. We know you have thoughts and want to get in here, and we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I remind people that Hugh Freeze in his prime at Ole Miss was a year that they won 10 games. The year before they won 9, the year before they won 8, the year before they won 7. He built, right? 7-6. 8-5, 9-4, 10-3. Folks, that was a decade ago. That was 10 years ago. Ole Miss went 10-3 in the year 2015. Folks, I couldn't drive then.
Legally.
Legally.
Without your parents in the car.
Yeah, I drove on the property, but, you know. That was 10 years ago that this guy was in his prime. That Ty's talking about the offensive guy, right? The guru, the genius. Albert's favorite words, right? That was 10 years ago. I think it's time we quit hanging our hats on that and hope that that guy just magically returns. Because 2.5 years in, clearly it ain't there. And to his point, and to Jones's point earlier in the show, right? And like all these people are saying, and we got a bunch of texts we're about to read here in just a minute as well. The news is true. It's confirmed. Hugh Freeze confirmed it today. Damari Alston left. He's gone. Damari Alston is not on this team anymore. So the guy that coming into the year was your running back one.
Your team captain on offense.
Team freaking captain has walked away from this team. He's gone. No longer a part of it. And there are several reasons for that. Several reasons that we can get into at some point. But that's not a good sign. I don't care how you look at it. I know there are some people with a positive spin on this, some people with a negative spin on this, some people who are just saying good riddance, whatever. I think that's a bad mentality, but that's my opinion. Regardless, running back one and your team captain leaving the team halfway through the season is a bad look. That's a bad look, plain and simple.
Adding to our frustrations talking about the offense and it just feels like it's new, but it's all the same every single week, right? It was you had so much creativity on the first four drives of the game. You punted on one of them, yes, but, man, again, you had 70 yards on each of three of the first four drives that resulted in 10 points and then a fumble in the goal line. After that, you did absolutely nothing. You had three first downs the rest of the game. You moved the chains. You made the chain gang do their job three times in 30-plus minutes of action.
It doesn't seem real.
It does. It feels like you have to try to make something like that happen. You averaged 1.7 yards per play. And so far, let me get this out where I can read it correctly before I read another sack.
Man, I could get 1.7 yards per play.
Auburn's second half offense in the SEC is averaging 2.95 yards per play in the second half in SEC games, where you've put up a combined what feels like 4 points, and three of those are because of your defense. I know that's not exactly how it works, but that's what it feels like. We talked about, again, the creativity running the football that you saw in the first half, where you had 130 rushing yards at halftime. You also had 107 yards through the air at halftime because of the creativity. Georgia then decides to take away the run in the second half, and they're going to put all 11 defenders essentially 8 yards away from the ball. And the entire time, the offensive game plan through the first 5 weeks of the season, not including Baylor, was a hitch route and a go ball. Jackson Arnold completed 19 passes. He was 19 of 31 for 137 yards. That doesn't feel real, that you complete 19 passes for only 137 yards. Folks, he threw the ball for 51 in-air yards. 80 of those yards that he gained, or that he accounted for with completions and with wide receivers doing their job, were after the catch. He threw the ball when he completed the pass for 51 in-air yards in his 19 completions. That is 2.5 yards that the ball traveled before a receiver caught it. So where is the offense of, okay, well, we made adjustments on offense during the bye week, and we realized that we're not throwing the ball deep at all.
What
you
a
did
world,
twice,
right?
And one of them was a P.I., for yeah. Eric Singleton Jr. that moved the chains.
It's just, it's fascinating. We're about to get to Ed on the phone lines. It's fascinating to hear that and have frustrations with that for Auburn fans to say, hey, run the ball more, but we also want you to force it downfield. Make the DBs for Georgia work a little bit too, right? A DBs room that has been burned all the way up to this point this year.
Where we talked about that's where you would most likely have your success in the chunk play category.
Crazy stuff, man. 334-321-1390. Ed in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's on your mind on this Monday?
Hey, guys. War Eagle, just kind of disgusted like everybody else. And I'm not going to get into the officiating because I think it kind of speaks for itself. And, you
sure.
know, one of the last callers explained the no call on the targeting thing was really kind of worse than the one called on Kahan. But as far as Auburn's coaching staff as a whole on the offense, we've talked about Hugh, and it's all Hugh's responsibility. But obviously, what you've been speaking of all afternoon is how good we look and have looked at times. But especially this game, coming out, you know, the first few drives and how we look. Well, those are all, as you know, we all know, are scripted.
Yeah.
That's Hugh Freeze and all of them, collaboration. You've got to, and when it seems like when it gets handed over to Derek Nix to start calling the calls, it's when everything goes, you know.
Cause sure.
That's got to be part of it. And then you go down to Jake Thornton, our offensive line coach. I know all of these are Freeze's guys, but our offensive line has not lived up to how it should have played with the guys we have on that team this year. They have not played disciplined. They have not lived up to their expectations. Then you look at Ken Austin, and between him and Hugh Freeze, I think you could get Patrick Mahomes in there and give us a good off season and spring with him, we could have him playing like crap next fall. I mean, it comes down to coaching.
Yeah.
And poor decisions and, you know, poor game management, poor decisions on personnel, poor decisions on play calling, and just I'm so sick of hearing Freeze, you know, talk about, well, everywhere I've been, and it's always worked out. You've got to move on from where you've been, what you've done. And, you know, maybe Austin, I hate to lose him. And, I don't know the kid. I assume he's a good kid. Everything I've always heard about him, he wouldn't be elected captain if he wasn't, you know, by the other kids. I call them kids by the young man. But I think the entire offensive coaching staff should hang their heads, every single one of them, And War Eagle, guys, I appreciate y'all letting me vent, and I'll be listening.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed, and appreciate the words there, too. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. We know people are hot, emotional, and rightfully so. We want to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. Your thoughts here quickly, and then we have a bunch of text messages that I want to read.
We talk so much about what you were just alluding to before we got to Ed about offensive guru and the genius on offense, and it's time to get a legit play caller that understands the ins and the outs of a game, because right now Auburn is at the point where they have plan 1A and they have plan 1A-1, and if you stop either of those, which is right now is a hitch or a QB draw, then the offense doesn't know where to go. Again, after the goal line fumble, guys, you had 0 points, which, again, whether that's a touchdown or not, goes back to you can't fumble the football there. Saying it like it is,
yeah.
The officials wouldn't have to make a decision if you didn't fumble the football.
Yeah, don't put it in their hands.
You had 3 total first downs. 2 of those were on the final BS drive. You averaged 1.7 yards per play. Because Georgia took away the one thing that you had working for you, and you did not have any sort of response.
You crumbled.
You crumbled.
Plain and simple. You folded like a lawn chair from the 80s.
And then you go and you watch, you turn the channel during a commercial break, or you see the highlights, or when Auburn's having a bye week, you're sitting on the couch watching these offenses move down the field with ease halfway through the fourth quarter. And you just sit there and wonder, how difficult can it really be? And that's not me taking away from the difficulties of the job, but it's just at the point of, man, these teams have play callers that understand the ebbs and the flows and the ability of, I'm not going to change what I'm doing until you make me. And then once I see how you're making me change what I need to do, I then have a counter on how to re-attack what your defense is doing. Glenn Schumann and Kirby Smart walked into the halftime break and said, all right, I just did my job. If I'm Kirby Smart, I just took the entire energy out of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Was it pretty? No. But I got exactly what I wanted, and you have to give him credit for being able to do it. We talked about this verbally watching this game of, man, if you're Kirby Smart and you're Georgia, the more you hear boos inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, the better that it feeds your team.
And the longer that 2 minutes of the first half went,
the more that it helped the University of Georgia and the more that it helped that sideline.
36 minutes of it.
36 minutes. Again, it's not pretty, and however you want to call Kirby for it, I give him credit. Because he realized that his team didn't have responses and they needed to have some sort of spark going into halftime. So I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that we're essentially going to be able to put together a scripted drive. And that way there's so much animosity already building up inside Jordan-Hare Stadium that it takes one thing to happen and this place explodes. And you felt the nervous energy if you were inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Hell, you probably felt it watching the football game as you have the past 3 years of, as soon as something goes wrong, Auburn doesn't have the ability to respond to it. You needed Georgia to shoot themselves in the foot for there to be true electricity back inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, because everybody in there knew exactly what was about to happen. They knew that this Auburn team did not know how to respond to anything that Georgia was doing. And you can point the official, or point the finger down to the officials all that you want, but Auburn had too many chances to win the football game. But it relied on Georgia missing a field goal for all of a sudden there to be, okay, whew, there was the break that we needed, and you still do nothing with
it. We have a chance.
Yes.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Kirby and Georgia knew that Auburn is soft, that Auburn couldn't do it. And if you give them enough time, they will do it to themselves.
How could you not give him credit?
I do.
As frustrating as it sounds.
There's a reason he's the highest paid coach in the country, folks.
Exactly.
There's a reason. And it ain't because he looks good in a visor.
No. He walked. There's the clip going around that he's at midfield and takes the picture with his family, and you hear him, whew, we stole that one, boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're a good coach, and you did exactly what you needed to do, which went against Auburn, went against the fan base that is going to go against the team that's playing on the field, and they allowed one thing to continue to pile on, and they knew, hey, you give us three drives in the second half, we're going to do what you did to us in the first half and absolutely bleed the clock. Auburn had 8 minutes of time of possession in the second half. Auburn has one of the best defenses in the country. But if you make them play 22 minutes of a second half game,
a defense that's going to waste again,
you give up 20 points to Georgia.
20, man.
You gave up 20 points to Georgia. You have now given up 24, 16, and 20. Not in the first half. In 60-minute games. And yet you're 0-3 for the third straight season under this head coach.
334, 321, 1390. We'll take our final break in hour number one. Come back, read a bunch of your text messages, get into hour number two as well. Stick around. We'll do that next.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. I promise I see all your text messages on our on-the-line text box, and there's some doozies in there. We are going to read them and respond to them as we go, so keep sending them there. 334-784-1067. I do want to get this guy on before we wrap up the first hour of today's show at 334-321-1390. Dak, what's going on, brother? I got a couple minutes for you.
Oh, my goodness. I need more than a couple minutes, but that's going good, man. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, man. It's good to hear from you.
We're doing.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. Hey, look, guys. I know you've had a bunch of probably saying the same thing, but I don't know if anybody's brought this up, but we keep talking about this Ken Williamson guy. Do you realize, I mean, have you gone back the last 5 years, the games that we've had him? Has anybody thought about that?
There's quite a few of them, unfortunately.
Well, last year's Oklahoma game, all right? And then the year that Bo Nix was here and we were up 28-3 against Mississippi State, he was the lead guy. And I have said it for years, every time we get him, things like this happen. Now, obviously, there's a lot of blame to go around everywhere. But the one thing that I haven't heard on all the shows that I've listened today is nobody has questioned the sideline ref that was on Georgia's sideline. Do you realize that he is responsible for a lot of the calls and no calls?
Yes.
Yeah, that he let Kirby convince him.
Yeah, he got convinced.
Kirby, he did whatever Kirby wanted.
He looked back at him every time. You're right.
Not only that, how many head coaches have you ever seen go, not no timeout, not during timeout, not during a television break, how many times have you seen a head coach go past the numbers as many times as Kirby did on the field on Saturday?
Yep.
I counted. I went back and watched it. I taped the game and went back on Sunday and watched it. There was six times that you could see it. So at least six times Kirby walks onto the field past the numbers to say something to that ref.
Yet there's a guy on the Georgia staff that gets paid to hang on to his belt loop.
That's right. And look, guys, besides the he never made that decision. You know, I tell people all the time that go into the refereeing business, I said, look, if you don't know what to call, you make it look like you know what the call is.
That's right.
And that's that job. That guy should have raised his arm for touchdowns and then knowing that they're going to go back and look at it. Why did he not do that?
It's a great question.
I mean, the body of the quarterback went into the end zone.
I'm with you.
He didn't know that the ball had been fumbled.
Get them, Dak. Get them, buddy. I hate to cut you off, my man. We're out of time in this first hour. But everything you're saying is spot on. And we're going to talk more about it coming up in hour number two. Keep on calling. 334-321-1390. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody, or should we say Monday.
Hey, everybody. Monday.
Monday here on ESPN 106.7.
Basketball Monday.
Basketball Monday. MLB postseason Monday. Hockey sure. Monday, question mark. The Bruins played a game at 12:30 today, and they lost, so that was cool.
That's why you're upset today.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I mean, they were undefeated up until that point. But, no. We
like 1-0?
2-0. Yeah, 2-0, baby. To it. Hey, undefeated's undefeated. Auburn wouldn't know that. It's fine.
Auburn was actually 3-0.
They were. What are they now?
We play our first exhibition next Monday. What do you mean?
Yes, that is true. Yes, Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday. We appreciate you being with us. This is On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I feel like our listeners have done that for us so far today, between the phone lines and the text box, which we are going to do a whole lot more of here in hour number two. So if you did miss the first hour, go back, listen to the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We take the show, audio, put it for you up there each and every day at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we have scheduled to talk about some of the news around college football, but
I have a feeling we're not going
to
get
in hour number two here. Let's get to the phone lines.
Yeah, we actually are about to get to the phone lines. They are open all of hour number two. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to us. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we get to the phone lines to start hour number two. And Terry, you're on the line. How are you on this Monday?
Doing good, Jake. Christian, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Well, guys, here we are again. Jacob, as you know, Jake, Christian, you may know as well, I was a huge Hugh Freeze guy to get hired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I backed him a lot.
You were, yeah, outspoken about it. You were a big defender.
Yeah. Not anymore. I'm not.
You've turned the tide. You've turned the page.
Oh, no. Are you cashing in, Terry?
Yeah, and out.
Wow. You're coloring up. You're getting away. You're stepping away from the table. You're done.
I mean, he's terrible. He just don't get it. And I'm all for offensive guys getting the head coaching job at Auburn, but I think offensive guys tend to meddle too much in the offense, and they're more obsessed with what they want than what they need. You saw that with Malzahn, and you're seeing it with Freeze.
No way you're seeing it with somebody that was called Gus Malzahn 2.0. I mean, no way that you're seeing the same signs, right?
Well, I just think that
there's a lot of tendencies. There's a lot of tendencies.
I mean, less than 50 yards and a half.
Yeah.
Again, not for the first time either.
You have to try to do that. That's what we were talking in the first half, Terry. I don't know if you got a chance to hear. It's like
I did.
You have to you literally have to try to be that bad, right?
No, I mean, there's imagination at all.
No, there's none. And so, Terry, let me ask you this, because I know you want to entertain this part of the conversation that we haven't gotten to yet, but I know we will. You're coloring up. You just cashed out on blackjack. You're done on that table.
Which game you going to next? Which direction do you go now?
I don't know. I really don't.
Wow. Nothing.
I don't. I have no idea.
Back to the hotel to shower.
Terry's taking a shower, ordering some food, ordering room service, and going to bed. He's done.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, where do you go? I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. I can tell you that for him.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I do think there's further room to fall before it gets better. I think that's a possibility.
Well, they're going to fall even more, I think.
I'm with you.
I mean, you know, no doubt that DJ Durkins will be the interim coach when they fire Freeze, but I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I have no idea.
Terry, I say this with all due respect. It's pretty bad when you don't have anything to say, when you're speechless.
I mean, I just, the offensive ineptness is incredible. It's unheard of.
And it's crazy, too, because it's not – for four quarters, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's this year or this game. It's since he's been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like he's, again, I reiterate what I said. He's obsessed with what he wants and not what he needs to do.
Yeah. It's sad to see, man.
That's running the ball.
Yeah, it is.
That's all they can do, so why not do it?
Yeah.
And quit trying to fit a quote-unquote square peg in a round hole.
Mm. Terry, we appreciate the call, my friend. We got to get to more calls. Appreciate it. 334-321-1390. Lonnie all the way down there in Lochapoca. What's on your mind on this Monday afternoon?
Well, 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 gentlemen, how are we doing today on this loser Monday?
Yeah, we're doing okay. It's been a while since we've had one of those victory Mondays, and it's starting to get to us.
Let me tell you something. My prediction last week was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But I'll tell you what, it was just about as bad. I don't care that it wasn't on the scoreboard. And everybody can moan and complain and whatever about the officials. 40 yards, whatever it was, 50 yards in the second half.
Yeah, it was 40 with 25 of those being on that nothing drive to run the clock out.
This guy is a loser, guys, an absolute loser. And if you go back, and this is why I had some reservations about hiring him in the first place. If you go back and you look at his record at Ole Miss and his record at Liberty, it seems like we did the Jabba thing, which was, well, he beat Bammer 2 years in a row, so I guess we got to hire him. His record is not that great. It really was never that great. He's not a good coach. He couldn't motivate a freaking wino to take a drink. That's what he looks like on the sidelines. He dresses like a slob. I mean, I've got a revolutionary idea. And it may be positive, or it may be a popular choice, and it may not. Fire the guy immediately. Put Durkin in as the interim head coach. Fire the offensive line and go get Sam Pittman and Jimbo Fisher as interim whatever or analysts and run the dang season out. And I'm not saying that Jimbo Fisher needs to be our head coach or anything like that.
Sure.
But nobody can argue that the guy knows how to coach some offense. And I guarantee you that it would be better than the crap that we have now. I've been done on this guy for a while. He's a loser. He can go play golf. I have it on good authority of knowing that he played 36 at Moores Mill last week. So if he wants to play golf, go play golf. Go to the lake. Do whatever you want to do. But good God Almighty, get off the sideline of Auburn University. War Eagle.
Thanks, thank you, Talani, down in Lochapoca. We appreciate you chiming in. And look, I think Lonnie probably speaks for a growing portion of the fan base.
Yeah, last week, before the game, we were talking about how we got to hear from both sides, right? Mm-hmm. It was Ty that said, no, guys, let's take our breath. And Lonnie was the one that said no. And now you're seeing guys like Ty call in and say, all right, last week I told everybody to calm down, but Lonnie, we're getting closer to shaking hands.
Yeah, let's get back to the phone lines. Again, they're open all show long here for the next 50 minutes with us, 334-321-1390. We got our man Dak back on the phone lines, but I got more time for you this time around, my friend. What else? sorry to cut you off earlier. What else you got for us?
That's all right. That was just bad timing on my part. I didn't know you was about to go to a break.
All good, brother. All good.
But let me continue about the one ref on the sideline, okay? Not only did no call touchdown there and didn't see the fumble. He didn't know where the ball was.
Yeah, no call at all.
He's also responsible for the sideline where Georgia threw the ball and he was out of bounds. And Kirby is the one that told him about the hit on the quarterback. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they went to review that pass that was out of bounds, they said, "The hell, looking at that. Let's look at this," because Kirby is the one that told him about it.
Yeah, let's go back in, and you can use this as a review. I'm going to use this as a timeout, but while you're at it, go look at what happened when Gunner delivered that football.
I've never seen a coach have influence on an official like this, Dak.
That's right.
You've been around the game a lot longer than I have.
That's right. And then you know, he's the one that got the ref to call too many people in the backfield on the punt. Now, that shouldn't be happening by this time, because that's the fourth time this season in four different games that we've gotten that.
Is that it?
I don't understand what the problem is.
Genuinely,
but
is
Kirby
that only
is
four?
The one that called that.
Is it only
Do
the
what?
Fourth? I was saying genuinely, is it only the fourth time? Because I make the joke every single time that you could fair catch, you could not return kicks, and you could still do whatever, and there's still Auburn finds a way for to have a penalty called on them.
Right. But the ref on his sideline called that because Kirby pointed it out. All right? But guys, look. I blame Auburn on this part about the referees. This guy Ken, now look, he may be a straight up guy, but history is history. Every time we've had him at home, we have gotten screwed. Now, go back and look at every game he's done over the last 5 years. They all turn out bad for us.
Yeah.
Every one of them. So why? You're allowed to scratch one crew. So why are we still allowing this guy to be at our home field?
I'm with you. That's what I asked Hugh Freeze on Saturday night in the post-game press conference. My question to him was, this is continuing to happen. When will Auburn step up and put an end to this?
That's
right. And John Cohen was in the room when I asked it, and I made sure he was.
That's right.
I said, when will Auburn step up and do something?
This is my question, is do the same crew stick together week after week, or do they mix with the head referee?
I'm pretty positive that Ken is the head guy for X crew.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I was thinking. So that's on us for not scratching him. Because to my understanding, you're allowed to scratch one crew.
Sure.
Anyway, I may be wrong on that. But look, guys, so I want to be fair here. You know, we are about where I thought we would be. I really thought we would beat Georgia. I knew we wouldn't win on the road with those two teams. But we have been beaten, as of this past weekend, by the number five team in the country, Texas A&M. Saturday, number six team in the country in Oklahoma, and the number nine team in Georgia. So that's our three losses, okay? That's the bright side. So somebody is doing some coaching.
Sure.
We obviously know that. It's on the defensive side mostly.
Mm-hmm.
However, you got to give credit for that. I mean, we're a touchdown away from each one of those games. And the Georgia game, you could say we had it taken from us. And you could say, yes, I hear all these people saying 40-something yards in the second half. I get it. This is what happened. We scripted the first 12 plays of the game. You saw what happened, because we're running those plays regardless of what defense they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We scripted those first 12 plays. They were good plays. All right? At halftime, Georgia made their adjustments. We did not make any adjustments. We flipped the script, and instead of running it to the right or left in the first half like we did, we just flipped it and ran it in the opposite direction. Well, Georgia came out to stop the run, mainly the quarterback running the football. And we didn't have an adjustment to make, all right? Now, we did throw the long ball, what, three times? Okay? He overthrew him twice,
ugh.
And then Cam Coleman should have caught the one that he jumped up for.
Can't happen.
Yeah, yes, Yes, he should have thrown it downfield a little bit more so he could run under it. All right, but he had just overthrew two people, so I'm sure that's why he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But Cam Coleman's got to make those plays, guys. He's got to make that catch. That's what he gets paid the big bucks for.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Am I not?
No, you're right. And that's
the wrong picture?
No, and that's the argument too, right? Dak is so many times, right? You look at that and say, oh, that's coaching. And I'm one of those people most of the time. But Hugh Freeze can't go out there and physically throw the pass to Eric Singleton himself, or go out and make
that's
the
right.
catch himself. So I'm with you on that. I hear you.
And then I'm gonna say this too. If I was coaching Cam Coleman, I would sit him down and I'm going to say, look, right now you're a straight-line receiver. I said, you're supposed to be the dog, man. I said, quit falling down when we throw you five-yard hitches. Quit dropping to your knees when we throw you the hitch. It's happening way too much.
Mm-hmm.
He should, as big and strong as he is, he should be catching the ball with his hands and running over people and making people miss. That's my opinion, okay, because he's got it in him. But just like the first catch on the sideline in the first quarter and they ruled it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Why fall? Why is he falling? Catch the ball with his hands and make people miss.
And it's every time, too, in the end zone of – unless it's the true 50-50 ball, it almost turns into a fade because you're falling away from the ball.
That's right. That's right. Look, he is what I call a straight-line receiver. I've seen it many times. They can go straight. They could go up and get the ball, but look, you got to play fearless. The best receivers are fearless. That's what makes them great, and he don't have that in him right now. I'm not saying he can't, because I believe he can, but he needs to look in the mirror and look at how he's playing, and he's a lot better than that.
Yeah, a lot of great points, Dak. We appreciate you, brother, as always, man, all right?
Bye, man.
Thanks so much, Dak. 334-321-1390. And this guy is also called back. Spectre, you have something for Dak, I think, in support of what he's saying?
Absolutely. Good stuff, Dak. Good stuff. Listen, do you know the difference between a good coach and a great coach? A good coach knows the game. A great coach knows the officials.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And you got to know the officials, know what they're going to do, know the tendencies, and also just be able to have a feel for those things, right, Spectre? Just to know the trends and the flows and the momentum, negative or positive, in a game like that.
And to know they're in your back pocket.
Yeah, that's what Kirby does.
Hey, listen. If you yes, that's right. Listen, when you guys want to talk. Changing head coaches and offensive coordinators and stuff like that, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm you and a lot of people, I have a feeling, Spectre. Well, I'm sure that will come up as the day and the week goes on, okay?
Later, guys.
Thanks, Spectre. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you hear all about it with, again, me being the baseball mind of if you let the official know pitch one, if he doesn't call a strike, even if it's a clear ball, just to know that – you're on him, right? In the hopes that in the fifth inning, that same pitch with two strikes is going to be a called third strike to get you out of the game or to get you out of the inning because you've been on him for so long. You're talking about it. Yeah, I mean, knowing your leeway, knowing the leniency, knowing what you can and can't get away with, and then you hear all about it in the NFL with these – the premier NFL quarterbacks versus the rookies, right? I mean, the hits that you see Patrick Mahomes get called flags for, you're seeing these rookie quarterbacks get absolutely destroyed. And mm-hmm. there's the quotes from Joe Burrow, his rookie year in the NFL that took a late shot and the official apologized for not throwing the flag. And Joe Burrow said that he walked up to him and said, it's okay, in a couple of years, I'm going to get that type of call. Just because of, again, you're the name and the character that you build, that's, again, goes to the credit that you have to give Kirby Smart for being a national championship winning coach.
And there would be a large group of people that hear that and say, well, it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't.
And I'm one of those people,
yeah.
But it's just reality, unfortunately.
It is the human element of the emotional side of the game. Which
up to the last handful of years, you feel like even through the early 2000s, across all major sports, collegiate and professional, I would say through 2010, maybe even through 2015, like, yeah, there were some bad calls here and there on the basketball floor or in a volleyball match or whatever, but man, it feels like in the last 10 years, and maybe that's because social media highlights them more too, right? And it's easier to find out who these people are and things like that. Maybe
again,
that's
two,
why.
Two things being true at the same time.
Correct. But I feel like the last decade, officiating has taken such a step backwards in all levels of all sports. I mean, for all the parents out there that have kids in T-ball or Little League soccer or even middle school, I mean, heck, even us watching high school and calling high school games, man, it's horrific. It's terrible.
And you know when you step on the field, the track record that official has.
Yeah, your reputation is legit. Reputations don't just show up. They're earned, good and bad. And that's where we are with officiating. And I like Dak's point, too, because, again, my question to Hugh Freeze Saturday night with John Cohen in the room, I said, when does Auburn step up? Because here, again, we mentioned this earlier in the show, and I know we got to get to break, but two things are true at the same time from Auburn's loss against Georgia on Saturday. Auburn was hosed by officiating, but Auburn also lost the game and had every chance to win it, and they found ways to lose. But focusing on the officiating here for just a moment, that's why I asked the question I did. And multiple other people did. You did as well. And people even did again today. Of when does Auburn step up and finally say enough is enough? Hugh Freeze said that he had a long conversation with the head of officiating in the SEC and Greg Sankey this weekend. But basically was told, sorry, nothing we can do about it now. We feel bad about it, but nothing we can do now. That's not acceptable to me. That's not okay. Because Hugh Freeze is on the verge of losing his job because of it.
I want to continue that conversation. Not talking specifics about Auburn and Georgia, but just the overall conversation. I want to continue with a couple more points
okay. On
the other side of the break.
Yeah, and a couple of the plays too, because we haven't even addressed the clapping versus timeout thing. Haven't even gotten to that yet today. Which may be the biggest... Oh, I don't know a clean way to describe it. So that
we can figure that out over the break as well.
Yeah, we'll have 2.5-3 minutes to figure out a way to vocalize that. Phone lines are open. Again, no guests today. We're open for you. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. We're back right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a few minutes before our bottom of the hour break. And for the first time officially today, we are going to lean into the officiating conversation. And yes, some specific to Auburn, Georgia. Some of it specific to Auburn in general. But you wanted to go a more broad direction here for just a moment, right,
well,
Christian?
Yeah. Yes and no, again, with all of those things, where it's like we get back to the point that we've had on this show multiple times of why is there conference officials in college football, right? Why is it that when the ACC plays the Big 12, you have to bring in the SEC crew so that way there's no bias or anything? Or, again, these guys only call SEC games, and why is it not? I understand the money side of things of, yeah, you want to keep guys relatively regional, but it's not even regional. Like what you were saying in basketball, and then you have in baseball as well, of we're a Southeast crew, right? We can go anywhere in the Southeast or the South crew, but instead you have to put tags on officials where the rule book is different in every single conference. The leniency, what you get away with, is different in every single conference. And my perfect example of that is when you go and you watch Auburn basketball on a Tuesday night or a Saturday night in the Swamp or in Thompson Bowling or even in Neville Arena, and you see borderline football because they know how physical the league is, then you work your way into March Madness where it's not SEC officials and the rule book is so different to where those physical teams struggle. The teams that have figured out how to play that style of basketball have that much more success, and it just makes it to where there is so much more confusion wrapped around the entire sport. You bring the best radio crew to the best games every single week. I understand that if you're an official, you don't want to go too far away from home, away from your house. But if you're really wanting to be a top-of-the-line official, if you live in Miami, Florida, and instead of going up and calling Florida games and Miami games, and every once in a while you can go call, you know, an Auburn game or an Alabama game, why would you not want to get a phone call of, hey, you're our top guy. You're going to call the Oregon game.
Yeah.
This weekend, you're going to call Oregon versus Penn State. And yes, it's in Eugene, but you're one of the best in the business. We reward you for doing that by giving you new places to go and see and also be one of the most important officials because you and your crew are the best at what they do. So you deserve the best games. Why is it not? Why do we not have that sort of comprehension of, man, give the best games to the best teams? And to the best officials, and to the best radio crews, you just feel like there's so much confusion when it comes to all of that. And finally, the fact that we're still at the point right now, you talk about Auburn wanting to do something. At what point does Auburn start something in the SEC where they demand the ability to go back and listen to audio of what happens when Ken Williamson or whoever puts on the headset and talks to the SEC crew?
Well, the way to fix that is to do what all the other major conferences have done and put it on the TV broadcast.
Yes, and that's what needs to happen, but the SEC will never do that. But my point again, just going back to, when will Auburn or SEC teams demand to at least have the audio to be able to have that step up and go, okay, at least that's what they were talking about. At least that was the conversation of what was going on. At least that is what we were looking at. But instead, Kirby has to go take the podium with his players after a win. Hugh Freeze, Jackson Arnold, and Keldrick Falk have to go take the stand after a loss. Well, everybody that wore an official's hat, an official's jersey, gets to get on one knee and hand the boss the paper, and he signs their paycheck, and you get to go sleep happily without any sort of remorse, any sort of consequence, even if it's not a consequence, any sort of explanation on why things were done a certain way. This is not even an Auburn thing. I mean, we're seeing officiating worse than it's ever been, like what you were going to.
At all levels and all sports.
And we're talking about this from the media perspective because, again, we cover different – yes, we cover Auburn, but we watch and we cover different games, and you just see how gross it is. But there's zero explanation from anything. There is no, why did this happen, officiating crew? There's none of that.
Because accountability gets them nowhere. Unfortunately, the business of officiating, if you start demanding accountability, the business, the struggling business that it is already, the declining interest in the business of officiating, if you start truly demanding accountability, it will plummet.
You know what's refreshing? I follow a page on social media, and I think you do as well, or at least you've seen plenty of it, where, again, this goes back to the major league side of things, but you can go back and there's stats that record MLB behind the plate umpires,
yeah, the umpires
and their percentages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says, all right, they were 98% on balls and strikes. They missed one important play, which was a 2-1 count in the top of the seventh inning.
And they have
that,
like,
was a strike that was referred to a ball, and how much that swayed
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, yeah.
How much that changed the percentages of the game, because after that 2-1 pitch, it became 3-1, and then that player hit an RBI single, which brought the lead from 2-1 to 3-1, which ultimately ended up being the biggest point in the game.
You know how to change that?
That's completely beside the point because, no, I don't know how. Yes, I do, unfortunately.
Starting next year, baby. Tap the hit.
You do. And that's a conversation for another time, because three is not going to be enough, because somebody's going to get rung up on a ball in the postseason and go, well, why can't it be right all the time? And then it will happen. But
yeah,
my point being, there are scorecards that show accuracies. Those umpires get to call postseason baseball. The ones that don't have the good percentages, you don't see them in postseason baseball. It's as simple as that.
It really is, which is all you need. That's all you need.
You're really good at what you do.
What's put you in the biggest
you're
moment?
Gonna, yeah, you're going to be the first base umpire for game one. That way you're behind the plate for game three.
I'll jump on this before we do need to take our bottom of the hour break. I'll add on to what you just said because I think it's really good and bring it back to the Auburn perspective here with, again, what we asked Hugh Freeze Saturday night, what he told the people today, that he had a conversation with Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner and the head of officiating, and in his own words, whatever that's worth, sounds like he was told, sorry, man, we saw it, but there's not a whole lot we can do. My point here is this.
But we still try to do our best week in and week out.
My point here is this. When does Auburn not just make a statement or make a point? When does Auburn take action and completely boycott? Which sounds dramatic. Which sounds drastic. Which sounds like a loser's mentality. But it's gotten to the point. Again, two things.
You're saying boycott like a game after it's final? Or you're saying boycott like we're not playing with these?
I'm not. I think there's a situation where you get word on who the white hat is or you get word on who the crew is. And if you've been screwed by them before, where Auburn doesn't come out of the locker room. And John Cohen walks out, steps up to the head official and says, this team's not coming out today. They're not playing with you. Or you call Greg Sankey and said, yeah, send somebody else. Or you get word 2 or 3 days in advance on who it's going to be. Don't even bother sending them because Auburn's not taking the field with that crew. That is a loser's mentality in some people's eyes, and I get that, and that's weak, and that's, you know, cross your legs, cross your arms, and bang on the table until you get something better that you like, right? You didn't like the peas, but you wanted ice cream for dinner. That's what it sounds like. But when you've been impacted by it time and time again, there becomes more validity to your argument.
Yeah.
And again, two things can be true. Auburn was screwed by the officiating, but you still had chances to win. And just for what it's worth here, I lean more towards the other side that Auburn still had chances to win, even though the officiating was so bad. I want to clear that up right now.
This is not a show where we are sitting there doing what everybody does of the, I know that I'm not one to blame officials,
but
that's not what this has been so far today.
There is, though, I think, a world where when a team does that for the first time and begins to set that trend, it could cause some serious issues.
Yeah.
But if you're Hugh Freeze and this Auburn team and John Cohen, man, at what point do you say, enough's enough? Enough is enough. Don't send that crew because we're not playing. And I guarantee you the SEC would do something because if one team doesn't come out, guess what? That game doesn't go on the air. It doesn't get on TV. It doesn't get on radio. There's no money. There's nothing. And anytime there's an issue, the only thing you can do to make a real impact is go after the big-time wallets. And that's the pockets of the SEC and Bamberham. That's what you have to do. And that's what Auburn could do, but they won't.
Rather than, again, how refreshing it could possibly be if you just have 50 officiating crews and you get to rank them based off of official scorecards and stat sheets of, man, this crew has a 94% correct call based off of the SEC or based off of the NCAA national referee crew that goes back and watches these games, and you realize that your game is ranked third in the country this weekend. So you're getting the crew that's not 98% or 97%, but it's a crew that you've never had before,
yeah. But
you know they're going to be good at what they do.
All right, we got to get to a break. We've blown way past the bottom of the hour break. We'll take that now, come back, quick segment, take another one, have another quick segment as well. More phone calls and text messages to get to as well here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got about 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open as they have been all show long, 334-321-1390. We go back to them now with Dan and Auburn. You're on the line.
Doing okay, guys. I could probably talk for 2 hours like everybody else, but I'm going to just make a few comments. Look, the way Georgia and Alabama with Kirby Smart and Nick Saban were there, we know, and I personally know, that there's money handed under the table all the time to players. If you don't think that there's money getting handed to officials or replay people, then you're crazy because it happens the same way. Because if you can't, if the level field is is fair across the board with every team being able to give players money, they're going to find another way to win. Those guys are about winning at all costs, and that's what they're going to do. And I guarantee you the SEC main office probably knows it, and they probably just look the other way. They just don't care. You know, they got their teams that they want to win because they know that they're going to consistently be there in the top, and they're just going to let it happen.
Yeah.
And so we got to have a coach or a staff that understands that and is, look, we have to think, you know, outside of the box. You can't just say, hey, we had a great first half. If you don't think the team that's been there and done it for a while is going to go make changes, a great defensive-minded coaches. We played some really good defensive-minded coaches the last 3 weeks, and they made adjustments, and they completely shut us down, and we didn't come up with any answers at all. So that's, you know, so we just basically showed that give us 2 weeks, we can come up with one good half of football. But because our offense did good that whole time, we never thought or even considered, hey, well, what if they shut those things down? What are we going to go to next?
Right.
We never had a page two or page three.
I don't think Auburn has the ability to do that. I just don't think the ability is in there.
Other calls have said in the past that, you know, the offense that we're running is intended to go fast, to give you that advantage. It's a simpler offense. It's not as, you know, detailed. So, but if you go slow and you're going against good defensive coaches, they're going to figure it out and make adjustments. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And we didn't do anything about it.
Which is really, it's just frustrating, right, Dan? That's where a lot of Auburn fans are, is, like you said, you had a bye week and a whole another week to prepare, and you came up with three drives that you were able to put together. And then with the extra 25 minutes in the locker room, I mean, yet again, the story is, what did you do in there? What conversations did you have in the locker room between the first half and the second half? I would love to have been a fly on the wall.
Well, I think you did so well in that half that I think you assumed we don't need to change anything. But, see, we're not good enough that after a drive or two and that's all shut down to go, okay, all right, what are we going to do next, guys? We can't adjust on the fly against really good defenses. And that's, you know, that's probably a lot of teams would have a hard time with that. But we definitely can't do that. So, you know, we'll probably, going against the teams we got the next, we'll probably win all of our games. The officials will be cool. Because, you know, we'll get the ones that don't really care and it doesn't really matter because none of the teams are going anywhere, you know. But Alabama game, you know, we're going to get hosed again. I mean, Missouri got hosed by the referees. I don't know if y'all got to watch that game.
I mean,
it's like, guy gets an interception and you show two reviews from the backside where you don't even show a video where the ball is to see if it rolled on the ground, and you know it probably did. You know, I mean, there's this. Look, those two teams are going to get their calls, and for whatever reason, however they get it done, they get it done.
Yeah, you're right.
The
Dan,
SEC doesn't care.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you on the show, 334-321-1390.
And it's funny, the first thing that Dan was talking about was, again, just the officials side of things and not going completely into that with, like, money under the table side of things, but I've seen a lot of stuff on social media, and it's like, huh, it's crazy that right after the final score of that game, they announced that College Game Day was going to Athens to host Georgia and Ole Miss. And so no way that they wanted to make sure that was still a really big game. And then I've seen other things of conspiracies about doing everything you can to not see the fumble play again. Like, there's people going back that recorded the game or that are rewatching it on SEC Network or whatever, and it shows Jackson's draw to get down to the 3-yard line, and then all of a sudden it takes a little commercial break, and next thing you know, Georgia has the ball right around midfield.
Yeah.
So there's just, again, not completely going into that, but
Christian's busted out the tinfoil hat, baby. He's got it out.
The light bulb is flickering at the top.
Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Duke, you're on the line, my man. How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
Doing okay. What's on your mind?
Just make a few points. Some people may not, a lot of people may not agree with it.
Okay.
First of all, we got a lot of bad calls. I think everybody that has eyes could see that. Number one, that was a touchdown. And that by changing that changed the whole momentum of the football game. The whole momentum. I'm not saying we would have won, but
we would have played a lot better the second half, up 17-0 and everything. They took that away. And number two, I sat there for like 4.5 hours because they do replay every play to see if where his knee was down to mark first down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They need to give the coaches two challenges each, and you know, under 2 minutes or so, you know, booth replay or whatever. And my final point is it don't do no good to do replay when they get it wrong half the time. And I am a firm believer when they do that, they going to make sure the Georgias, the Alabamas, the LSUs, those ones that are competing for the playoff, they want to make sure they get in the playoffs because of money.
And I think with that –
going to get screwed.
With that point, Duke, that one right there at the end, because that goes in line with what some previous folks have been saying too, I think that exists. I know it exists. But the problem is I think it exists – subconsciously, right? I don't think there's a situation where they're sitting in the review room and they're like, okay, how can we give this call to Georgia? How can we make sure they move on? How can we make sure they win, right? I don't believe that, but I do think that they have that subconsciously because of the office that they work for, which is the Southeastern Conference, and they do want their best teams to continue to win ball games. And so right. I think a lot of that is subconscious, unfortunately.
Yep. And my final point, I am not for firing Hugh Freeze.
Okay. You're on board with keeping him.
I am for him to keep him. I'm tired of us firing a coach every 2 years.
Okay.
We will never have a football team. We'll keep doing that. And I think he can get the job done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Duke.
Good points all the way around, which
yeah.
It brings up another topic of conversation of if this is an SEC versus SEC game, why not have some sort of connection with the Big 12 or the Pac-2, and those officials up in their booth are the ones that make the final call, where there truly is no say
mm-hmm.
about what happens with this team or this team because they truly don't care.
It's what they do for bowl games.
Yeah. And right? It's the same thing, jokingly, that we've talked about for so long of – all right, well, let's have this review, right? And let's bring in this rules expert, the third party that just got tapped on the shoulder and was told to look to the screen to his right 8 seconds before they went to him. And you describe what you think is going to happen, although that has zero impact on what is happening. Because, oh, you know what? You know what, Kent? That does it does look like a touchdown. What do you think? Yeah, I think that he's in.
And it shows
but
how...
we'll wait. And then it goes back onto the field and nothing changes.
And it shows how much disparity there is when the head officiating guy, who was an official for 30 years, when half the time he gets the call wrong. Or his prediction or his opinion is different than what was called on the field or what was reversed or what was reviewed or whatever. That shows just how broken the system truly is. I'm over all of that. I really
am. And again, this isn't even an Auburn versus Georgia or even Auburn University
thing. We talk about
thing.
This just, on Sundays.
We talk about it all the time watching football. The other thing, I know that we'll have more of a conversation of before we get back to the phone lines to wrap up the show, we rely so much on technology for everything, right? For you now see it in the NFL with the nose of the football and the laser line to see if he got the first down, which I am a fan of. Why is there not that with goal lines and the nose of the football? Why is there not that with every simple thing that happens in football? I mean, there's got to be a way to track every single footprint on a field, and you see when he's out of bounds, or you see when the nose of the football hits the ground, and all of that going into the point of, I know this will probably be a tomorrow conversation, why do we still rely on a coach sprinting down the field to call a timeout?
Yeah.
Because how many times is the whistle blown truly after the clock has hit zero, but because the coach supposedly called it, but when there was time, they are gifted with it.
Or how many times a timeout doesn't get called because the official didn't see it.
Right.
Because why, his back was turned with the coach running down the field after.
Why is there not something? And I understand that, again, I don't have the true answer for this, but a coach has a button that he wears on his belt loop.
It really is that easy.
And he presses it. And something on the scoreboard lights up. And you can see if he pressed it before
the clock hit zero, or if it was after zero, and if that's the case, it truly is a delay of game. But you see it all the time of the crowd cheers. Nope, he did get the timeout off in time. But you don't really know.
No, you don't.
But
sometimes, Christian, they're just clapping, you know? Sometimes they're clapping.
Clap for me? Why is mine... Mine is quieter.
Yeah, yours looks more like a T.
Technical foul.
All right, we got to get to break. We got to take our last one. We're running out of time here. We do have a phone call. We'll try to squeeze it in really quick when we get back here and wrap it all up on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Dak, you're back, my friend. I have 60 seconds hard for you, my man. What's up?
All right, guys. So I feel like the person in that review room should be somebody that's non-affiliated with the SEC.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because I know for a fact the first 3 years that they went to that, the guy in that was doing that was an 80-year-old man that's a former official in the SEC, but he graduated from Alabama. I know that for a fact. Now, I can't say that's who's in there now. Probably not. But I know the first 3 years, that's who did it.
A guy living in Birmingham? No way.
Yeah. So, and then my last point, this is the main reason I was wanting to call. What Coach Freeze should have done is he should have gotten two or three penalties in a row. He should have not left that middle of that field on that timeout deal.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you a coach that would have done it. Coach Pat Dye would have done it. He did it in 1984 at Tallahassee, Florida, 3 15-yard penalties in a row in a close game, and guess what? We won that game. Sometimes you got to stand up for your team, no matter what it takes. And everybody used to fear Coach Dye and Tuberville as well, all right? But right now, there's nobody that they fear at Auburn, and that's why they get away with stuff that they get away with.
It's a great point, Dak. Way to end the show, my friend.
That's why they fear Saban. They fear Kirby, and there's a few more. That's why they get what they want, and that's the problem.
Boom. Boom. How about that on the way out, Dak? We appreciate you, my friend. And I know you don't get to listen and call in as much as you'd like to, but we appreciate you being a part of the show today. We appreciate everybody being a part of the show today. We had a ton of text messages. We're going to get to those tomorrow and break it all down even more. I promise you that, okay? We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.